Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me this week, I have my excellent friend. I have Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, another week.
I'm feeling excellent.
Nice. Well, I was thinking, you know, what's the saying? Be excellent to each other. Did you ever watch Bill and Ted?
Oh, boy. Everybody yells at me for this, but no, I didn't. Even my kids have.
Oh, really?
I have not.
It's funny the things we dig up from our past that we haven't experienced, you know, like, yeah, I don't want to sidetrack too much, but last week after the show, we were talking about Willy Wonka, and I think I'd never seen the original version, you know, the Gene Wilder version. Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing I did before I had to go was admonish you for that, because that just seems insane to me.
Yeah. I'll put it on my list, and you can put Bill and Ted on yours.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I do know Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's was in Bill and Ted. She played Joan of Arc, I believe. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Any Go-Go's exposure for me, I'm all for.
Excellent. Again, excellent. Very cool. Well, yes, welcome back. We've got a big show. This weekend is Mario Day. So March the 10th is the annual kind of celebration of all things Mario. So we're going to talk a bit about that. We've got a nice list of games that we're playing, including the Princess Peach demo, which I'm excited to talk about. And then we've got our Switch 2 rumors of the week to discuss, which we've collected a few this week. It's always fun to kind of speculate and see what's happening as we count down this imaginary clock that has no end to see when the Switch 2 comes out. But for now, let's begin with Mario Day. Now, I should have done some more research because I can't remember when this started, but I believe it was a fan-made day that someone realized March the 10th looks like Mario a while ago. Is that your recollection?
Yeah, I think so. It seemed to me it was always a social media thing, and then Nintendo thought, hey, wait a minute, free advertising here. We don't have to do anything except, you know, make an announcement and put something on sale.
Exactly. So, might as well lean into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a positive thing anyway, because it's people celebrating Mario. Like I said, it's the fans, you know? So it's just cool that March 10 or MAR 10, like 10 looks like Mario. It's very cute. And I'm sure I mentioned this last year, but my son's birthday is on March the 10th, which I think is just super awesome timing on my behalf. But anyway.
I feel like you missed an opportunity to name him Mario.
Yeah, I did. I totally did. Yeah, that would have been good. Although maybe I should have called him Luigi or something, like, you know, to go with it, but not too on the nose. Like Mario might have been too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Mario Toad. 10, every Toad. Oh, he would hate me for that, wouldn't he? Probably.
Well, and anybody who had to call him that.
They'd be like, Toad, wait, what? How do you spell that? T-O-A-D. You're like Mario's friend.
Yeah, well, it could be Todd and just pronounced differently. It's Toad. Yeah.
It's like Brandon.
Yeah. What was that bit from Flight of the Conchords? The guy's name was, what's his name, Brett? And they kept calling him Brit, and he goes, yeah, Brit.
Yes. I love that. That's so good. Yeah, anyway, my son's naming convention aside. So this year, unfortunately, we are recording the day before Mario Day, whereas this will be posted the day after Mario Day. So we're going to talk about what we're expecting to happen, and then we'll see whether that actually does happen. But Lego, to start off with, Lego is hosting a special presentation on Mario Day. So we would expect to see some new Mario sets, I presume. That would make sense. And yeah, they announced that they're actually doing a special video, which, you know, Mario Day this year is on a Sunday. So it's not a typical day to receive announcements or anything like that. But something to look forward to on a Sunday morning, I guess, if you're... we'll see what happens, because the Lego Mario series has... It's huge now. There's heaps. I don't know if you've looked recently, Kirk, but I had a little bit of a look during the week. And there's so many sets now. Obviously, it's expanded into Donkey Kong Country. It's got like ice kind of themed worlds. It's got fire worlds. It's got kind of all the Koopalings and, you know, a lot of the enemies and characters. It's pretty impressive. So we'll see what's left. I can't imagine what's maybe Mario Wonder, maybe, because it's new.
Yeah, I think that would be a good push right now. Sure.
Exactly. So we'll see. And I guess if it's worthy, we'll talk about it next week. But one thing that is happening right now is that there's a quite a big sale on Mario games on the eShop to celebrate Mario Day. And, you know, Nintendo's no stranger to sales. We talk about it quite often over Christmas, over New Year's, etc., Thanksgiving. And Mario Day is just another excuse to slap a discount on some titles. But this time it happens to be quite a few first-party titles. I'm so sorry, Kirk. My dog is scratching the door. I'm just going to open the door.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yes, sales. There's quite a few sales to enjoy. And, I mean, I don't know how many people don't have Mario Kart, but Mario Kart is on sale. So, and it's a decent amount too. It's 33% off, which seems to be the standard for a lot of the first-party titles. I think Mario Party's in there. There's Mario Golf. Mario, I think Tennis I saw up there. Any kind of Mario-themed title seems to be discounted. I do have to say, though, I checked because, you know, a couple of weeks ago I did say I've lost my copy of Mario Kart and I thought maybe I should buy it while it's on sale. It's not on sale in Australia, interestingly enough. It seems to be confined to the US, which is a bit annoying. Australia does have its own version of the sale and our sale is double gold. No, what are they called? Double gold coins, like the points you earn when you purchase a game on the eShop.
Okay.
Yeah, which equates to, I think, about 10% off in the end. So not as good.
Yeah, it feels more like a perk than a sale.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little disappointing, but I might still purchase it on the US eShop if I cannot find the game. It's motivating me to actually look properly and find this thing because it's been, 6 weeks now that I haven't had it and I'm getting withdrawal symptoms. I need to play Mario Kart again.
Got to pull the TV stand and everything out away from the wall now.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Do a thorough search of everywhere. Anyway, do you think, is there anything worthwhile picking up from your perspective in the sale?
Well, one of the things I would highlight here is Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope.
Oh, yes.
Because it is 67% off. It's only $20 down from $60.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good deal there. And then I was noticing that a lot of DLC that maybe you didn't pick up for some of the games is also on sale, like multiplayer packs for Luigi's Mansion 3 is normally $10. Now it's only $7. So not a huge discount, but, you know, down from what it was. So a lot in here. And it looks like it's digital only. You can't go to the store and expect these sales on physical copies. It's only in the eShop. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Because, yeah, some of those games, and they're super worthwhile getting. If you haven't got Sparks of Hope, for example, great game. And the DLCs are there as well. I have not tried the DLC myself, so that is something I could look into. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the game is really great. So definitely worth picking up, especially at that price. So let us know if you do pick up any of these games or you have any other sales you'd like us to mention. The next thing that I heard during the week was a bit of a rumor, and, you know, by the time this podcast airs, you'll know whether it's true or not, was that Paper Mario and Luigi's Mansion 2 might be announced, whether they're coming out or whether there is a release date announced on Mario Day. That was the rumor going around during the week, which is interesting. Again, it's a Sunday, so I don't know if Nintendo would drop games like those two big games on a Sunday. It seems unlikely to me. What do you think?
I would be surprised. I mean, I've been surprised before, so I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. But yeah, I don't know that Mario would let kind of a fan-driven event or recognition on a Sunday be where they're going to put those out, because those kind of are big announcements, at least amongst the Nintendo faithful. So I think they would want to call a little more attention to that instead of stealth dropping it as part of a Mario Day celebration.
Yeah, especially two quite big games for the time. Like, they are remakes, what would you call them? Revamps, I suppose, like HD remakes, I suppose. And Luigi's Mansion 2 in particular will look, I think, quite nice. But again, you know, we had Mario RPG last year. It kind of had its own release date and it didn't compete with Mario Wonder, for example. We've got Princess Peach coming out in like 2 weeks. I don't think they'd want to. Actually, it's probably less than 2 weeks, but anyway, soon, very soon, March 22nd. And I don't think they're going to want to put two big Mario themed games out right before Princess Peach, because you don't want to steal from that, because that's a brand new title.
That's a good point. And it's one that people haven't heard of, so they wouldn't want to dangle, you know, something they've already played and people love in front of something brand new. I think you're absolutely right there.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Thanks. We'll see. We'll find out soon enough. Then there was this nice little trailer that Nintendo dropped during the week, which was kind of like going through the years of Mario. Did you happen to see that one?
No, I didn't. Really, I didn't. I saw the link to it and didn't watch.
Yeah, didn't watch it. It happened to be, I saw it on Twitter, actually. And I know, you know, how we feel about Twitter, but, or X, but I sometimes still use it for Nintendo news. Anyway, it was there and I watched it. At first I was like, wait, where's Mario Sunshine? Where's Mario Galaxy? Where's, you know, some other games that were missing from the lineup? Because it started with, you know, Super Mario Brothers. And I like the way, you know, Mario would climb up a vine or something and it would morph into, say, Mario Brothers 2. Like, it transitioned between each game really well. Like, he'd go in a door and then he'd come out the door in Mario Brothers 3 or something like that. It was really cute. And I realized it's because they're only highlighting the games that you can play on the Switch. So you can play all of these games like Mario World, etc., on the online store. Gosh, I can't think of the name of it. You know, the online Switch online collection is what I'm trying to say. They're all available, you know, kind of virtually there. And then it went on to games like Bowser's Fury, which is obviously a Switch title, and things like that. So it went through the ages, but it did skip over the ones that you can't play on the Switch. So it's a little limited that way. But it's still a really cute, cool trailer. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll probably chuck it in while we're talking so you'll see what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's just nice. And it's nice that Nintendo would, you know, like we said, this is a fan day, but they still go to the effort of promoting Mario. You know, obviously they're putting effort into it as well. That's going to cost them a bit of money to get someone to put together a video. So it is a marketing drive almost now. And you don't want it to become a situation where it's like, you know, is this a fair comparison? I'm thinking about like Thanksgiving and how it's become this commercial thing, like with Black Friday, right? Mario Day is not Thanksgiving. It's not.
Well, why not? Let's make it like it.
Maybe. Yes. That's what we're moving towards. You don't want it to become this thing where it's like a commercial thing. You know, you want it to be celebrating Mario still. So that's where I'm going with that comparison. Hopefully that makes sense to people. And it just made me think, you know, Kirk, do you have a favorite? I know you're not a huge platforming Mario fan, but I know you have played some over the years. And did you have a favorite one, either 2D or 3D, both?
I'm trying to think. The ones I think I got the most life out of, I did play Super Mario Sunshine on the GameCube. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first Nintendo system I bought. So that may be my first real experience with a Mario game. And I remember liking that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I also did enjoy Paper Mario on the DS. I think I played that all the way through. But honestly, I don't know if this even really counts, but the Mario game I got the most out of and still get the most out of is probably the original Donkey Kong. Can we call that a Mario game?
Sure.
He was in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see why not. That's the one where he has to jump over the barrels and climb the ladders. And yes. Is it that one? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And that came out when I was at the right age for it. I don't know, 12, 13, 10. But it was in all the arcades, and I mean, every arcade had that machine, and it was the one that I think I was probably best at. I could spend more time on that than any game I ever played. So I'm going to say Donkey Kong is my favorite Mario game.
That's awesome. What happens in that one? Because I played it even a few years ago. I saw it. We had some sort of arcade festival, and they had all these old school games there, you know, from, you know, that to Street Fighter, anything that you could play in the 90s. But I guess that was more of an 80s thing, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I had a go at it because I hadn't really played it on an arcade before, and it's so much fun. But I don't know what happens. Like, is it limitless or is there an end to it?
It's limitless. There are four possible screens that it cycles through. So you got the first one, then you make it to the second one, then you go back to the first, and then the second and the third, and then the first, second, third, and fourth. So, and then you just repeat ad nauseum.
Right. So it's more about score chasing, I guess, yeah. That one. Yeah, right. Cool. You know, this is testing your memory, but did you happen to know what your high score was?
Oh, yeah. No, I know I got my initials in the machine before, and I know I would lose my mind when I finally made it to that fourth one. I was at, what's that guy with the big controversy over who has the top score in Donkey Kong? I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Anyway, I'm not him.
Cool. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to look up and see what the best score is, I think. Anyway, but yeah, so it wasn't you. That's okay. But you had your name in the thing. And I think that's a testament to what those games were like, right? You got excited to have your name in the top, whatever it was, 10, 20, I don't know, whatever it showed on the screen. Oh, yeah. And you had three initials. What did you put for your three initials? Like KIR
mostly I'd do my actual initials KJH. And then when I was feeling a little rambunctious, I'd write out ass.
Of course.
Think we all did. In fact, you'd go to the machine and just see how many people did that because it was the one swear word that you could spell in its entirety on the initials.
Yeah. Oh, classic. Oh, geez.
Yeah, to be young in the 80s.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Kids these days, they just don't get that, do they? You know, I think they still do write, certain words upside down on calculators, though. I'm pretty sure I've seen kids do that. So yeah, that's still a thing.
How about you? What are your favorite Mario games?
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot I exist. My default go-to favorite is always Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo. That's the one I had the most, I spent the most time with and had the most fun with as a kid. You know, I grew up with Mario, so I played the first three on the NES with my sister and my mom, and loved those. And I do remember going to friends' houses after school and them showing me all these tricks with particularly the first game, like Super Mario Brothers, you know, the original. And my cousin also showed me some tips. I'm like, oh, there's like coins hidden in the bricks. Oh, there's like shortcuts. There's like warp pipes. It's like, wow, there's just like the whole world. You know, you're not just going left to right and trying to get to the flagpole. You're actually, there's secrets and things to discover. And I love that. And Super Mario, 3 and Super Mario World in particular had heaps of those. So I spent a lot of time in Super Mario World trying to find all these hidden exits and secrets and just trying to get that, all the levels, you know, because you had this level count on your home screen and trying to get it to the max, which I think now I can't remember what it was. Was it 92? Something like that. So trying to get that number to the final number. And I think I did. I always had one number less than what I thought the final number was. So I'm like, I didn't know if I missed one or if it just didn't count the boss battle, like Bowser's battle, if that didn't get counted as one. So to this day, I still don't really know if I actually completely 100%ed it or not, but I was very close. So, and I played it a lot and I love the boss battle. And I've just loved, and Mario Sunshine is a good one too, from a 3D perspective. That was probably the first, Super Mario 64 was good too. I love all the Mario games. I could go on and on. But Sunshine was a bit of a breath of fresh air, I think, for me. And I spent a lot of time playing that on the GameCube and really enjoying it. It got a bit of a, I don't know, didn't quite do as well as it should have, I think. Like, it got a bit of a knock for some reason. Maybe it was too different. I'm not sure. But yeah, a lot of love for Mario. Mario Odyssey, I reviewed that when the Switch came out. I think I gave it a 10, I'm pretty sure, or a 9.5 or a 10. I think it was a 10. So that's, you know, the ultimate kind of 3D Mario game, in my opinion. But my kids and I play Mario Wonder, New Super Mario Brothers, whatever it is, Deluxe. We play Mario 3D World. I would love to see a sequel to that. Yeah, there's a lot of love for Mario in my life. So yeah. Favorite series definitely for me is Mario. So Mario Day is awesome, which is why it's so ironic and funny that my son is born on Mario Day.
The good thing about Mario 2 is there are so many types of games. I mean, there's something out there for everyone, and they all work. Like, I can't think of any Mario games they put out where you're like, yeah, that was a mistake. They may be out there, but, you know, even the tennis and the golf ones, they still do a good job with it. So
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. It's like it's impossible to have a Nintendo system and not have at least one Mario game that you enjoy mm-hmm. and play regularly, even for a guy yeah. like me.
Yeah. Well, a guy like you who grew up playing Donkey Kong, so.
That's and I do have Donkey Kong on the system, both through Switch Online and I think Arcade Archives.
Cool.
I've got that too. So, yeah. And yeah, it's right there. I mean, we play it enough that it never quite leaves that home screen.
Oh, nice. That's actually awesome. I love that. Well, I was thinking about Mario, and this leads on to games we're playing, because I've been playing the Princess Peach demo recently, because that's just dropped. And I was thinking about how, you know, there's these spin-off games like Luigi's Mansion, Yoshi's Island, WarioWare, you know, Mario is the kind of center of this universe, but spin-offs into some other characters that have done really well. And I was just, I guess my thought process is, will Princess Peach Showtime become a thing? Like Luigi's Mansion, there's three of those now. We had a couple of Yoshi's Island titles. And that's kind of moved into a different, you know, Yoshi's Woolen World sort of series. And, you know, WarioWare continues to this day. We had a new one last year. Is this something from Princess Peach? I don't know. But yes, I have tried the demo and I really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised, actually. Well, not surprised so much, but I enjoyed it. And I was not necessarily 100% sure what to expect, even though I've loved the trailers and I'm looking forward to the full game. I was, fingers crossed, hoping the demo would be good. And it was. It's not a huge demo, but let's just say it's greater than Mario versus Donkey Kong and less than Unicorn Overlord. So, all
right. So it's at least worth the download time. You're going to get enough out of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I would say it's worth a go for sure. You get to try two of Peach's transformation powers. So I think that felt nice. I probably could have gone a third, but you know, is there 8 or 10 now? I can't remember the final number that we're up to. So you don't want to give too much away. And I'm hoping that, so what happens in the game, in the demo, sorry, is you get to try Swordfighter Peach, for example. You go into a little theater and you get to try out being Swordfighter Peach, and it's really fun. There's kind of a boss battle sort of thing at the end. And it says, excuse me, when you go into this level, I'll call it a level, it says, I think it's got a little icon at the top with a little sword. It's like sword one, you know, like world one kind of thing. And then when you go into the Patissier Peach level or world, whatever, it has Patissier symbol one. So it's not like world two, it's Patissier one. So I'm thinking that must mean there are more of these. There's Patissier two, Patissier three, whatever. There's like multiple worlds within each, or multiple levels, sorry, within each world, if you want to call it that. Which gives me hope, because I thought as I played through the Swordfighter one, it was fun. Like it was actually really fun, but it was fairly easy and over relatively quickly. And if that's all there was, I would be very disappointed in the full game. If that's all there was in the full game, I'd be like, this is not enough. I'd be breezing through this game in like an hour or two. But if there's multiple levels within the Swordfighter world, which would make sense, because it's more like an introduction to it. It's more like a tutorial, like, here's how to be a sword fighter. You press this button, you do this. That would make sense then for that to open up more levels that you can do and be as Sword Fighter Peach. So it even said at the end of the sword fighter level that I did, it said to be continued. And I thought, oh, that's the end of the demo. But it's not. You go back into the foyer. So the main part of the game is in the foyer, which reminds me a lot of Luigi's Mansion as well, because, you know, you start off in the foyer in that game. Mm-hmm. So you're in the foyer. Toads are going around getting tickets for your show. And then this wicked, what's the name? Sour. Oh, God, I'm so bad with names. The witch who takes over the theater, the Sour Bunch, whatever they're called. Grape and the Sour Bunch, that's what it is. So Grape is the witch and the Sour Bunch are her minions. Takes over the theater, and Stella, the little star, comes and says hello to Peach. She's like the theater's guardian. And then she gives Peach this ribbon, which allows her to have some powers. And then they go off together to take back the theater. It's all very lighthearted, cartoony, you know, typical for this. You know, it's a family-friendly approach, which is nice. And, yeah, you start off, there's one area to access, which is the sword fighter area. And then when it says to be continued, like I said, you go back to the foyer and I'm like, oh, I can still walk around. I wonder what else I can do here. And there's another area that's open and it's Patissier Peach area. And I will say what I love about this demo is that they're very different areas. So the sword fighting section is quite different to the Patissier section. In the Patissier one, you're making cakes and there's a time limit and you've got to make a certain number of cakes before the time limit. It actually was harder. Like, we did it. So the cool thing was with this demo, my kids watched me play it and then they wanted to have a go and they each had a go. And so we ended up playing it like 4 or 5 times through the different levels to collect all. You have to collect these kind of stars, like 9 or 10 stars within each of these levels. And I got all of them in the Swordfighter one, but I got like half of them in the Patissier one. So it seems like there's a lot of replay value, which is awesome. Because, yeah, if you don't make the cake in time or it doesn't match the picture or whatever, you don't get the stars. So, yeah, I love the variety so far. And we've only seen 2. So I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, Ice Skater Peach, what she does, what the Ninja Peach does, what Kung Fu Peach does. I think having these different powers really opens up a lot of potential in terms of gameplay styles. So, yeah, I was very happy with the demo. And I think if you're mildly interested in Princess Peach Showtime, give it a go because it gives you a very good idea of what to expect when the full game comes out. Yeah.
I think I would like to check it out. Like I said, I was definitely after about the second or third trailer. My interest was finally piqued and I am interested in seeing how it goes. I do have 2 follow-up questions for you.
Sure.
When you're playing, did they sort of reveal whether, like, let's say if you're Swordfighter Peach, does it look like you're going to do, when the full game comes out, are you going to play through all of the Swordfighter levels in one shot and then move on? Or is it like you get one level here and one here and one here, and now you've unlocked the ability to go back and get, like, the second level of the Swordfighter stages?
It didn't really give that away. I would assume you can go back to more levels. Like, I think the things you collect within the level, which I don't know what they are, they look like stars, but they're not quite stars. They're like little silver things. And like I said, there's 9 or 10 of them. I imagine you have to collect those to unlock other areas. That's what I'm guessing, though. They didn't really say that. So I feel like once you've collected a certain number, you can go and unlock, you know, Ice Skater Peach's room or whatever, the theater, and then, or stage, I guess. And then you can go and do that one and potentially come back and do more Swordfighter stuff later, is my guess. Yeah, I hope so, because I like the idea of going back and forth. Do you think it would be better that way, or would you like to do all of the Swordfighters and then do all of the mermaids or whatever?
I think I would like to go back and forth because I'm afraid that there would be 1 or 2 levels that I really liked a lot more than the others, and if I got those out of the way early and then didn't like the others as much, that would be kind of a letdown. So if I'm constantly going back and forth between the different styles of gameplay, then I'm always going to have, you know, like one more level of my favorite ahead of me.
Yeah, true. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I like that approach as well. That's the feeling I get. I feel like you'll be able to go back and forth, but it didn't really give that away. But the fact that I could exit after one Swordfighter level and then do the Patissier level, even though this is the demo, felt like I can go in and out as much as I want and unlock maybe after you do your first Patissier level and or like I said, collect a certain number of these silver star things, then maybe it'll unlock the third one. What's that, like Detective Peach or something? I'm not sure the order, but yeah. And once you unlock the third one and play a level or two and or collect a number of things, you unlock the fourth one, and then you can go back and forth, that's what I would like to see and what I'm hoping to see. Yeah. And did you say you had several questions? What's your other question?
The other question is how tightly integrated they are with the whole theatrical theme. Because it looked like in the trailer that some of the levels, you looked like you were on a stage working with actual theater props, and with others you didn't. So I wanted to see if you got an indication of that from the 2 that you played.
Yes. I love that question. That's a great question because I did notice I think this was the case for both of them, but I definitely noticed it in the Swordfighter one, is there's a spotlight on you the whole time. Like you're on the show, like you're on the stage and you're the center of attention. Like you're the main, you know, actor, and the spotlight's following you around as you walk. It felt a little bit like, you know, sometimes in games, enemies put a spotlight on you and that means you're about to get attacked. I was like almost trying to run away from the spotlight a little bit.
Yeah, shining from the direction they're attacking from, so you know which way you got to defend.
Yes, exactly. It definitely felt like a stage. Both of them, probably more so the sword fighter though. Excuse me. The sword fighter level certainly felt like a stage to me, because the you have to attack these kind of they're like plants, like vines or something with thorns, like thorny vines that are overtaking the stage, and your sword can take them down. And so you attack them, and they look like props, in a good way. They look like they've been made by stagehands as props on a stage. They look really cool. So when you attack them, they kind of fall apart like maybe cardboard would, if that makes sense, as opposed to a thick, you know, 3D plant, if that makes sense. Not like a, like Zelda, you know, it doesn't look like a. It just looks like a prop. But it works. I think it works really well. And you kind of move from stage to stage, and there's curtains that kind of are on the side. And the background, they have shadows sometimes that look really neat, like little shadow, not puppets exactly, but shadow people that are like in the background of where you're trying to get to, because in that level you're trying to rescue this king, I guess, as part of the story. So you're trying to get to the king and rescue him from, you know, this wicked grape. So yeah, I'd definitely say the theatrical theme so far at least carries through. The Patissier level seems less that way, just because I guess what you're doing is, in some levels you would have seen the trailer, you're hovering above a cake with ropes, which does seem a bit stagey, right? Like, you know how in theater people might fly around, they're on a wire or something, right?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that, I guess. Yeah. So, but then some of the other ones, you're just standing in front of a cake that comes on a conveyor belt, and you have to, it's a bowl, sorry. You have to mix the flour and make a cake really quickly by pressing certain buttons. That's probably less stagey in its appearance, because it's a conveyor belt with cakes on it, but it's a festival of sweets or something. So I don't know how that translates exactly to a theater context, but yeah, it's still all on a stage and there's still props and things. And it does look really cute. And I definitely like the style. I really enjoy the style of it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the full game brings us, for sure. Any other questions?
No, but yeah, you answered the two that were most pressing.
Oh, no. I do my best. Okay. Yeah. So in short, it's very enjoyable. Let us know, listeners, if you have tried it, what you thought of it. I would love to write up my thoughts online. I was hoping to do that before the show, like you did for Unicorn Overlord, Kirk. So I'll try to do that over the weekend before we publish this show on Monday. Yeah, just to give an idea of kind of what I just said, really. But yeah, I think it's worth doing, because, yeah, like I said, it's not super short, it's not super long. You probably get about an hour out of it. And then if you go back, because like I said, you've got to collect these little star things, you definitely could go back and keep doing that in the demo until you get them all. And so I haven't even got them all in the Patissier level. There's also some little bonus thing you have to collect. I don't even know what it is. I think it's a ribbon. You know, she has this special ribbon Peach in her hair. But there's also costumes that you can unlock. And I think there's a special ribbon within each level that you have to collect. I found the one in the Patissier level. I haven't found the sword fighter one yet. So there's kind of other little bonuses to find along the way. So definitely some replay value there, I'd say. Anyway, speaking of Unicorn Overlord, let's move on, because that game is now out. It came out, I think, on Friday?
Today,
yeah. The 8th of March. And I know you've been very excited about this one, and you've played the demo twice. You've written up your thoughts on our website, which listeners can check out. But now the full game is here, and I believe you have it.
I do.
How is it going?
Unfortunately, I didn't get too much further than I did in the demo. My plans to take half the day off work, pick it up, and then game all afternoon didn't quite work out as planned.
Dang it.
But I did get some time with it. In fact, the funny thing to me, it won't be funny to anyone else or interesting, but at the very beginning of the demo, one of the first things you find in the open world is a bridge that is out. And one of the characters says, if you know, we had an engineer, I think was the terminology they used, then we'd be able to fix this and get across it. So throughout the whole demo, I kept looking everywhere to see if I could recruit this. And once you're able to hire mercenaries, I kept looking at their skills to see if, any of them had a skill that would allow them to fix a bridge. and they didn't. The second time I played a demo and I got further in it, I went to this, there's a small town, a walled town that's being protected by a guy with a giant hammer. And he, of course, is the engineer that they were referring to. So I got that. And the moment I defeated him and he joined me, the demo ended. So I couldn't do anything with it. So the first thing I did was go to that bridge. I'm like, I got this guy now. I'm going to go to the bridge. And I went there and his little character pops out and he goes, yeah, this bridge, you know, we could certainly fix this if we had 30, I can't remember what they were. And I looked at my inventory and I had two. So I'm like, all I wanted to do was fix this bridge. And now I got to go elsewhere and get more things done. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with this bridge. I don't know if it's my need to fix things or if I'm just really curious about what's on the other side.
Yeah, or a bit of both. I don't know.
I wish I could hop into Tears of the Kingdom and build some kind of construction to let me just get across it without having to rely on this the fellow with a hammer.
Yeah, you need the ultra hand. Dang. Well, that's interesting. Cool.
But yeah, so I've pressed further. I unlocked another class in the demo. I didn't go. You meet a wizard character at one point, and he's like, "Yeah, don't come over here. This is mine, and you don't want to mess with me." So I was like, "All right, well then I won't." But now that I've got the full game and no time restrictions, I thought I'm going to mess with this guy and actually beat him pretty easily. He's one of the characters that I probably could have or should have gone after in the demo. So I unlocked that character class, and am now just kind of exploring the area, picking up everything I can, and that's where I left off to record the podcast.
Cool. Sorry to interrupt your play there.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm going to be spending quite a bit of time this weekend.
Nice. Because it says you can cultivate an army of over 60 characters. And
yes.
So how many have you got currently?
I have, let's see, I'm trying to think, I have unlocked four grids, units, and on each of the units, I could put three characters. So I guess I've got 12 active at any time I can take into the battlefield, but, I have more people that I've unlocked than, units available to me. You unlock the ability to send more groups out into the battle arenas throughout the game. You can also recruit mercenaries, and these are characters who aren't written into the plot, but if you really need, in order to go up into this walled city, they said there's a lot of guys with armor and you're going to need magic. I went and I fought this witch village and I recruited the character who's going to be your witch going forward. But then because I was going into that battle, I also went back and recruited another witch mercenary so I could have two magic users in my army to make it easier to go fight that guy. So, cool. And then when you're done with the mercenaries, you can keep leveling them up if you want. You get to name them, choose their colors so they feel like main characters, but they're never going to be part of the actual story or have side quests, I don't think. And then you can release them. If you don't need them anymore, you can just turn back in and, just be out whatever money you spent on them.
Release them into the wild.
Yes. Yeah. Go you're find another now. Job. Sorry. Yeah. You know, the economy's bad and you're going to have to drive for DoorDash.
Yeah. The gig economy. Do you pay them? Is it an ongoing payment for them? As mercenaries, or is it a one-off?
Yeah, one-time fee to hire them. At least so far, I have yet to see any more of my money go that direction. And the game gives you a lot of money. I'm assuming that'll stop. In fact, when you meet a new unit who has a new ability, you can do a test fight against that. And it's basically like for you to just discover which of your units is going to be best against it, you know, that kind of thing. But they pay you like $2,000 to have this fight the first time. Wow. It takes all of 15 seconds, but it's a good way to make money. And one thing that I noticed right away that they improved in the full release that wasn't in the demo, if you fought them and got your money, great. If you went back to fight them again, you didn't, but it was impossible to remember who you fought already. So you end up fighting them again for no reason. Now I went back and after I fought a guy, there was a little check mark over the come fight me logo.
Oh, cool.
So I knew that I'd already done that, and going there again's not going to really pay any dividends. So that was a good update in the final.
Yeah, version. Definitely. So the second fight is free, basically. Like, you don't get paid. It's just
yeah.
You're fighting for free. Okay.
Yeah, now it's just for fun.
Yeah, okay. Do you still get experience points for that?
No.
Like, you still, no. Oh, okay. So there's really no point at all.
Yeah,
fair enough. That's awesome. Did you end up getting, because I noticed there were quite a few special editions or bonuses or something with the game. Did you get some kind of extra with your purchase?
I didn't get, there's, what's it called, the Monarch Edition? What's that? Yeah, the Monarch Edition. There's both digitally and physically, you can get some bonuses. I know the physical edition was expensive. It was like $150 maybe versus the $60 for the standard game. But I didn't think any of the, it looked like a nice package, but there wasn't really anything in there that I wanted. The digital edition, what they call the Monarch edition, includes a digital art book of 132 pages and a music album of 20 tracks. So you kind of get a digital version of the soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Had I bought the digital version, I may have spent extra for that because I think the digital art book would have been cool. And you do get the printed version of that along with some other things in the physical one, but I just, you know, Fire Emblem is the game that I will pay ridiculous money for to get the best version.
Yeah.
Got to keep that limited.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're not made of money. You're not, you know, your fights are only get paid for the first one. So, you know, you're not raking it in.
My version did come with a download code. The standard version, if you buy the physical one, at least comes with a download code that gives you like outfits, I think. I did the download. I didn't apply it yet. So I don't know if it's like armor that gives you better abilities or if it's just a cosmetic thing where you could put some characters in different outfits. So I don't know what that is, but it's available for free and it takes all of 15 seconds, you know, to enter the code and download it. So make sure you don't throw out the box. Grab that code, redeem it, start playing.
Cool. Yeah, I did notice it was there was a very expensive version available here. So good to know. But I guess if you are super into it and you want the book, I mean, looks very cool. And if you're a collector who likes physical things like books, you know, it might be worth it. It's not like books are cheap anyway. So yeah, that's awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that as you progress. And you're reviewing this one, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, should have the review in about a week or two. We'll have to see. It's one of those things where I'm sure I won't have it finished, but have I progressed far enough to offer a qualified opinion on the game? So once I reach that point, then I'll get the review live.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's bound to be a very lengthy game. So yeah, that's all good. Yeah, I'll definitely look forward to hearing more once that review's finished. Thank you, Kirk. What else are you playing at the moment? Something called Grime. Yeah.
Yes, Grime, the definitive edition of Grime, which is a game I didn't even know about until we had the review. I'm actually done with it. I have the review in the queue, so it should be live, I'd say, early next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is a platformer. The game was originally released in 2021 for various systems. We now have a Switch port for it. I didn't love the game. Mainly because I think I would have loved it on a different system. And that was my complaint. There were some problems with the Switch port that after experiencing it for a while, I went online to see if other people were having it. And they are. So some stuttering, some crashing issues. Some people were saying that it crashed. It didn't crash on me. Really long load times. And some people were also complaining about laggy inputs. The inputs were slightly laggy for me, but honestly, I thought that was just part of the way it was developed because in this game, you're playing this like rock form. It's a weird game in the visuals and both the way the combat takes place because you kind of start as this like mass of rock that kind of becomes anthropomorphic. as you start moving at the beginning, and you have a head which you're able to turn into a black hole, more or less, to suck in the enemies to kill them or damage them. So like your main combat in this game isn't attacking with a weapon, although you do get weapons as you go along and can use them, but it's you trigger this by parrying at the right time. So the main thing you've got to do in this game is actually parry instead of attack or dodge. And if you do that right, then it triggers the black hole and you suck in the enemy and get the ability to heal yourself later on. You can like stack it. And when you're low on health, you can hit a button based on how much you've stacked to replenish your health.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for this a few weeks ago, I think, when it was in the review queue. Certainly interesting.
Looking. Yeah, the visuals are, I like them on the Switch, and I wonder how much better they would actually look on a more powerful system, because there's a slickness to it. Like, it's all like rock and mud. But it still has like this organic feel, because there's like a shimmering of water or something. Like it's strange. But even beyond that, just the way they're presenting the depth with the wide open background shots, it's almost like an old Ray Harryhausen visual effect, where in the stop motion movies where he would have the layers of the background to give it more depth than just, you know, what you're looking at in the front. It has that appeal to it. Excellent use of color. It's a very dark game. In fact, another point I made was that, curiously, although the performance worked better in handheld mode, and I don't know that I've experienced that before, but it's because the game is so dark, it's really hard to see what's going on. And I'm using an OLED screen. So I can't imagine if you don't have an OLED Switch and you're playing this, how hard it's going to see what you're going on. And of course, in a platformer where you're timing your jumps and you're timing your attacks and your dodges and everything, not being able to see everything that's moving at once, could be problematic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess because he, like the protagonist, is quite dark, and he's like this. He's sort of rock and mud, isn't he? And then, but the surrounding areas, like the ground and the ceiling and even the walls, are all very dark. It's like the light is coming from behind, I guess, isn't it? Are you in some sort of cave or something? Where is this set?
Looks like a cave. It's in fact, at the beginning, you kind of like fall into this underworld, and you're sort of working your way up out of it. And that's a good point about the character too, because he's rock and the background is rock. So aside from your black hole head, there's not a lot to distinguish who you are from the environment. So that's another, I guess, knock against it. It's cool and it looks good, but you just got to make sure you've got a system that is able to display the differences between the different characters.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So
And it's funny too, because like all the other, you look like a person, you have legs, arms, and you move, and most of the other things don't. And they will comment throughout the whole game about how good you look, because you've got all your body parts. So there's almost like this weird commentary on how even the rocks in the mud view one another.
Oh, that's interesting. Social commentary on how rocks feel about things.
We get to feeling too, they're like something else happened to them also, like they're being punished down here or whatever, and this is the form that they took on when they came back to life. Got to develop a bit further.
All right, cool. I mean, it certainly sounds interesting, but flawed, I guess, is the sense I'm getting.
I think people who like Souls like platformers, it's definitely one to check out, especially if you're looking something that, you know, is going to stand out a bit from the competition. But I recommend that if you have the option to, you play it somewhere else other than on the Switch.
Yeah, sadly. Fair enough. Well, I mean, that kind of leads into, I guess, another piece of news from the week, which was that the Switch actually celebrated its 7th birthday on March the 3rd. So that was last Sunday. Which is, I guess, just, you know, talking about the Switch and more powerful consoles, and, you know, this is not news to anyone, but, you know, the Switch is, it's a bit long in the tooth now, right? It's, you know, 7 years is a long time. in technology sense. And, you know, happy birthday Switch, of course. You know, yeah. I remember buying my Switch. I went and did the midnight purchase for that one. Same. I was super excited.
Midnight reservation and a midnight pickup.
Yeah. I was super excited to do that. And I, you know, brought it home. And of course, you know, it's midnight, or by the time you get home, it's later, but you have to turn it on. You just bought this thing. You're not going to just go to bed. So
I did not. So, I went to bed.
Oh, well, there you go. So
yeah, I was pushing 50 at the time. So the fact that I was even out buying a game system at midnight, I thought made me cool enough already.
Definitely. Yes, you did. Did you take any? No, your kids probably were too young, were they? Did you take any kids?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I did it by myself. They woke up and saw the box and asked if they could stay home from school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my kids were quite young there. They were only like 3 and 5 or something. So, they were not with me. They were not in tow, and they didn't really know what it was. So I was talking about. But yes, so that's cool. So that's a nice little anniversary. But it, you know, speaks to games like Grime that don't necessarily run super well. I mean, it might not be this, you know, Grime is a Metroidvania kind of platformer experience.
Yeah.
Could it have just been development issues? Like, could it run well on the Switch? I feel like.
I think it could. I really do, especially since it was developed in 2021. So it's not like it's, you know, really modern. You know, it was developed well after the Switch's hardware was out there. And the Switch's hardware wasn't that powerful for when it came out. So I do understand that. But yeah, I think with a little more time or a bigger budget on the Switch port, they might have been able to do a better job.
Yeah, because we've seen things like Prince of Persia that have done well on the Switch. So,
yeah,
it really depends on the developer, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what they built it with, what tools they had. You know, if they weren't optimizing it at the time for something like that, I imagine depending on the everything behind the original version for PC or other consoles, sometimes it's just harder to take that and, you know, bring it over to the Switch.
Yeah, that's it. And there's, I mean, 2021, I know, is a few years ago, but I don't know if they were under a time crunch to get the Switch Definitive Edition out by a certain time. Maybe they just didn't have time to optimize it properly, which is a shame. Yeah. Anyway, I guess that kind of leads to our Switch 2 rumors of the week.
Well, I have one question first.
Oh, sorry. Yes, please ask.
I just thought of this as I'm looking at the dates. Was Mario Day a thing in 2017? Had it already started? Because if so, why do you think Nintendo didn't wait 1 week
to
release the Switch on Mario Day?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't so big then. I don't think it was definitely as big. Maybe it was still early days or social media led. Yeah, maybe Nintendo hadn't embraced it. I certainly don't remember hearing about it back then. It's more of a semi-recent thing, right? Like the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years that it's become a more of a thing. Definitely wasn't a thing when my son was born. He's 12 now. So not quite as, I mean, he's older than the Switch, but still. Yeah, you'd think that would be good timing. Maybe they'll do that for the next one, next year. Maybe the Switch 2 will come out on Mario Day with a brand new 3D Mario.
Saturday. Would that be that'll be a Saturday next year.
I don't know. Or is it a Monday?
I'm thinking, for some reason, I'm thinking today's the 10th. It'll be a Monday.
Yeah. Monday. I don't know if that's a good day. What was the 3rd of March in 2017? That's, I don't know if I can work that out of my head. Sorry. I feel like it was a Thursday though. I feel like I went out on a weeknight and
it was definitely a weeknight. Let me go.
Yeah.
No, I got to find this out.
Yeah. We need to know the answer to this. Well, we ask the tough questions on this show. That's what I was saying. So,
We're looking at March 8th. It was a Wednesday. No, wait. We're talking about the 2nd, right? Yeah.
The 3rd.
The 3rd. It's a Friday.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Okay. So it's a Friday night. Yep. It's a weeknight. It's just adjacent to the weekend. It's okay.
Yeah. So we got a long weekend. Well, they could do that this time. They could release it on a Monday and we get a long weekend again.
Yeah, exactly. I think if they have a Mario game to release on launch, that would be an awesome idea. Maybe they'll mention, imagine if Mario Day this year, like tomorrow, you know, or yesterday if you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
If Mario
or 2 days for me.
Yeah. That's confusing. Imagine if this Mario Day, they actually announced that the Switch 2 will come out on Mario Day 2025. That would be crazy.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Wow, if that happens, if I've just predicted that, I'm going to be pretty happy with myself. Anyway. Well, speaking of the Switch 2, as we've just been kind of alluding to, a few interesting kind of rumors we've gathered over the last little bit, including, well, is this a rumor or is this just something we want? Is the supply issue? Are we thinking... the delay, right? Because we've been talking about how people are saying it's delayed, even though it's not really a delay. So what did you read? Sorry.
Yeah, this may be out. Could be an older rumor. All these things we're talking about, I don't know how long they've been around, but I don't think we've discussed them. The Switch 2 or whatever is ready to go, but they just don't have enough of them, and so they are purposely delaying it so they don't have a supply issue like with the PS5, where people can't get them, and as a result, scalpers or whatever they call them are snatching all of them up and selling them for ridiculous prices on eBay. So if that's the case, then I applaud Nintendo for that decision. Let's wait until everybody who wants to pre-order one can get one, or at least, is willing to go camp out at midnight.
Yes. Can
get their name in the queue. I kind of hope that is the reason that again, I'm not calling it a delay because they never said when it was going to come out. Uh-huh. But if the reason we're looking at 2025 now is because they want to make sure everybody wants one can get one, then good for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I agree. I wouldn't call what happened with the Wii or even the Switch a supply issue. You know how the Wii was really hard to get. I think they just didn't know how popular it was going to be, right? Remember that first Christmas when the Wii was available? And I think the Switch had issues as well. The first Christmas or two, holiday seasons, people were just trying to get them because they were so popular. And I guess that's a balancing act as well, isn't it? Because you don't want to make too many, and you want it to be popular enough that people are still clamoring to get it. But yes, you definitely don't want a situation where there's not enough to even pre-order. That's not going to make anyone happy. Yeah.
I'm assuming they have a lot of people who are paid an awful lot of money to be able to calculate what the demand's going to be and many we want to have on hand and how many people we are going to make wait so we can, drum up some interest and excitement about it. Like, oh no, I got to get my Switch 2 because if I wait now, it's not going to be available for another month.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's all part of the planning.
Yeah, that's it. They'd have business analysts on that, I'm sure. Because there's a certain number of people who would get it day one, like us. We were day one people. There's obviously a certain number of people who wait a month or wait till see what games are available or they wait for Christmas or whatever it is as an excuse to get it. So, yeah, they got the numbers. They'll crunch the numbers. But speaking of, purchasing, I guess the price tag, this is not us. This is a rumor that we've heard that the price tag could be $399, which is $100 up from the original Switch. So I guess that makes sense if it was a more powerful console with better technology. I mean, how much was the OLED version more expensive? That's more expensive than the normal Switch, right?
Yes, I can't remember if it's 50, 75, 100 more. What is the price? I bought one. I suppose I could just look it up. But I can't remember what I paid initially. Some people, people were complaining when I was looking at this rumor about why does it cost more when it doesn't even have an OLED screen. But I think it's... that would explain why there isn't an OLED screen, because if Nintendo feels they got to jack up the price $100, then let's, not jack it up any more than that, which obviously they would have if they were going to put the OLED on it. Plus, it makes sense because, 3 years from whenever it comes out, 2 years after it comes out, now we're going to make it available with the OLED. You want to spend more, you can do it. And I will, and I won't complain because that's how businesses work.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Nintendo's not trying to steal anything from me. They're just offering me, now here's a better one if you want it. And if not, stick with what you got. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. Exactly right. I like that. I like the way you put that, because it's, you know, it does put it into context a little bit. They're just a company. They're just selling a product. They're offering it to us. We don't have to buy it. Yeah. You know, and it's, yeah, I mean, $3.99. See, that's US dollars. I'm guessing in Australia it'd probably be $4.99, or something like that. Maybe even $5.50. I think it was about $3.99 Australian, probably, for the Switch, or $3, something like that. Yeah, you know, I mean, Nintendo's consoles have generally been okay price wise. I don't think I've ever been too overwhelmed with the cost of these things. They go up over time, and I think we've been pretty lucky, and we spoke about this even semi-recently with Trev, I think, about games at least not going up too much in price over time. Like, weren't we paying $60 in the 90s for games on the N64, something like that, $50-$60? I don't think they've gone up all that much, so it's one area where, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
doesn't seem too,
and that's surprising because
it is.
Games are so much more complicated than they were back then, and you get so much more out of them. In fact, that's the thing that I always, when people complain about the price of games, like, compare it to paying that much to see a live football game, or even like a Broadway play, where you're paying more than you would for the price of the game, and that lasts 3 hours and you're done. You could get 140 to 210 hours out of some of these games.
Yeah.
You could double the price of games like Xenoblade Chronicles, and I would still pay it. Now,
yeah.
Granted, I've got a decent job, and I'm in my 50s, and I, you know, it's different for me than it is for a 14-year-old kid, is my point.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't be able to pay that. So I understand. But I just think that gaming is one of the pound for pound best values you can get in entertainment.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's very well put. And I love that comparison. I never really thought about that before, but you're right. Because, and even, you know, music concerts, I've noticed lately the prices have gone up a lot tickets. They've doubled easily. You know, you pay, I don't know what it's like in America, but, you know, a cheap concert is now $100 over here, whereas before it might have been 50 or something, or even 30 or 40. But, you know, even not a huge, like, Taylor Swift type of concert, which is super expensive, is costing you $100 or more. So, and the game is less than that. Like, I'm paying, I think Princess Peach, for example, is around the $70 mark in Australia, maybe 80 on the eShop. But if you go out and buy a physical copy from certain stores, it'll be like 69 or something like that, which is, I think, really good, honestly.
Yeah
for a first party title.
It's funny to consider too, because like I just published Sophie's review of Bonson Knights today. That's a visual novel game that you can finish in about 3 hours, and it's $10. So
there you go.
Compare that to, that's fine, because, you know, it's about the price of a movie. You're going to see 2-3 hours of entertainment at a movie, and you're going to pay around $10 for that. But it's just weird to me that a game that you can complete in 3 hours is $10, and a game like the Xenoblade Chronicles or Tears of the Kingdom is $60, and you can play that for $200. And the price difference, but like, how are they making any money at $60 a game? If this one that you could get done in 3 hours is still 10. So.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not like what do you call it? The graph is not linear, is it? It's not
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And you know, probably even more than 200 hours, if you really wanted to, you could just play Tears of the Kingdom, for example, forever. You could just keep going and just do whatever you want. And you see some crazy YouTube videos where people are doing just that. So so for $60 for this kind of entertainment that just lasts as long as you want it to, really, that's pretty incredible. Yeah. So yeah. So for the system itself to cost around that $400 price tag is fine, because you're kind of, it's almost an investment, and then the games come later and they're not anywhere near as expensive. So you know, and if
and
your
look
budget
at it
is
as a long-term investment, because I mean, we've had the Switch for 7 years. What, we paid $300 for a Switch. It's lasted you 7 years. That's a really, really good buy.
That is actually, yes, that is actually amazing. That's less than 50 a year, isn't it? If you divided it, right?
Oh, you're asking me to do math.
It's cheap anyway. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So we kind of mentioned the new Switch rumors again. No OLED. We're thinking it's an 8-inch LCD screen. Fine, I guess, right? If that happens, it happens. And like you said, they might put an OLED one out in the future, which would be cool. And this time I might actually grab it because I really regret not getting the OLED Switch. Yeah. And I could still get it. I've probably got a year, but I'll probably just wait at this point.
So, I would wait. But when you do update the OLED, your kids are going to be the right age that you could pass the previous one down to them for the Switch 2. And, you know, mm-hmm. then they're ecstatic because now they got their own system. And you can justify spending the money because, you know, you gave the other one to your kids. It was a gift for them. And now you have to replace yours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it as well. And the other thing rumored about technology was that it has 4K output, which I suppose makes sense in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. That's one of the things that I once you like. I have a 4K TV, an OLED Samsung, mm-hmm. and when I put 4K movies in it, it just looks so amazing. I want my Switch games to look the same, so I'm really looking forward to that if it happens.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Imagine something like a new Zelda game or Xenoblade, any of those big titles that we love in 4K. That would just be kind of breathtaking, really, on a big screen. I've got an OLED as well, so I would love to see that. I think that'd be pretty amazing. And Nintendo, traditionally I haven't been the most powerful of systems, which is fine. And I'm not saying 4K is, it's not exactly new technology anymore, right? But to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, you kind of need to get to that level, right? Like you need, that's what the fans want.
They would be
want.
Mocked heavily if they don't have it available in 4K.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we kind of expect that rumor to be true, but of course time will tell. Maybe by the time you listen to this, you already know because they announced it on Mario Day. Who knows? And the last thing we wanted to say about Switch 2 rumors was something about Sega. And this was kind of, so they announced at the Game Awards show in 2023 in December that they were revamping or rejuvenating a bunch of their titles that they've had over the years. And the rumor is that these will be available for Switch 2 on launch, which is pretty interesting. Some of these we know, some we don't. Actually, most of them we know. I think it's just that first one, isn't it, Kirk?
Yeah. I think I saw that it was a Dreamcast game, perhaps. Jet Set Radio. I don't know what that is. So my apologies to everyone out there who
for the
loves
Jet Set
the game and thinks I'm an idiot for never having heard of it.
Yeah. Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden
Love
Axe.
Shinobi.
Golden Axe. Golden Axe is great. Streets of Rage and Crazy Taxi. These were the five mentioned as being rejuvenated. So I don't think that's a rumor. That's happening.
Yes.
But whether or not they're coming to Switch, I mean, I assume they would at very least come to the Switch because Sega tends to work pretty well with Nintendo now in terms of releasing games on the system. But that would be pretty exciting to have a lineup of solid classic titles that are rejuvenated for, today's fans for a new system, especially some of those names are pretty big, like you said, Shinobi. Everyone loves Shinobi and Golden Axe. Streets of Rage has a really good name. I used to play that on the Mega Drive. What did you call the Mega Drive again? Sega.
The Genesis.
Yes, the Genesis. We called it the Mega Drive. I played that back in the day. So yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia there. I think they do pretty well, and it'd be good to have a lineup of games available for the Switch and Switch 2 on launch, because that's always a bit of an issue, isn't it, with launch consoles and having launch titles available. You need something for players to play, right?
Yeah.
When they get home at midnight, they need something to play. So.
Yeah. And when they made the announcement, when they announced it, they said that the range for the releases of these games was going to be within about 2 years. And right. It was, I think, in around early December when they did that. So
yeah.
It could be that we're not, that no system's going to see them until right around the time when the Switch 2 is launching.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, exactly. You
know, there were some good possibilities as we look towards what kind of games are we going to get on day one. There are a couple in here I would consider in Shinobi and Golden Axe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty exciting if it's true. We'll wait and see. Definitely. And hopefully we'll hear more in the near future. But, you know, for now, as we like to say, these are all rumors. So it's fun to speculate. Let us know what your thoughts are, what you want from a Switch 2, what you've heard. Let us know if you have any rumors and we'll talk about them on the show. I just wanted to quickly mention, we did get a nice comment last week on YouTube about Pokemon. The person who commented was very excited about the new game that was announced, Legends ZA. Sounds weird to me, ZA. Yeah, so thank you for your comment. We love what we do, so we'd love to hear from you. So please do leave us a comment or a DM us on Twitter or Blue Sky or Mastodon. You can follow us on any of those platforms. Before I do sign off though, Kirk, did you have anything else you wanted to add to anything we discussed today?
Oh, I don't think so. I just got to go jump back into Unicorn Overlord and waste the weekend on that.
Yeah. Your brain is like half there already. So we won't hold you up any longer. Enjoy. Thank you, listeners, for joining us this week. Please support us over at patreon.com/purenintendo. We're putting out our current issue of the magazine shortly, so look forward to receiving that in the mail. And until next week, thank you and game on, everybody. Bye.